Hello, hello, all. First and foremost, I want to start by sharing one of my favorite pieces of music. You guys thought I was going to talk about increasing the speed. I will. But I wanted to start first by just sharing with you one of my favorite pieces of music. If you go on Spotify and you type in Dance For Me Wallace by Abel Karnowski, I destroyed his last name, but play that. Just play that for me. Just tell me the first, like, 20 seconds aren't just the most, like, magical, isn't just the most magical shit you've ever heard. Like, I just, every time I hear it, I get the chills, and I swear to God, I get tears in my eyes. Some of you may or may not know, but one of my, I guess, my favorite things, I think those of you who were in my shadow band crew from last year on TikTok, you guys saw me dancing. You guys saw me dancing to classical music last year. See, this is what you miss, because I take the video down after a while, but it's like people in the shadow band crew, you hold me down, get to get like little peeks, because sometimes I post stuff and then I delete it, because like obviously I don't want things, you know, going viral for like everybody to see, but that's just me trying to share, you know, bits of myself. But there's just some pieces of music, like musical scores, or just like when you hear it, it just like I have been moved to tears. That one, Dance For Me Wallace, is like one of my absolute favorite. It doesn't matter what mood I'm in, if you like having a bad day or just whatever, if you just turn that shit up, bring a speaker, put that shit right next to me, and just that intro, the violin intro, just gorgeous. There's a sample of it on my Instagram page, at Julie Artist. I just posted a painting that I finished finally. Normally I take a couple, like maybe like a month and a half to finish a painting. This one took much longer, just because like life got in the way. I started doing more TikTok videos and, you know, putting out content, things like that. So my art kind of slipped a bit. Not liking that, finally getting back into it, and I'm back on my addiction. The thing about life is, like, you are going to be addicted to things, right? We're all addicted to something. We all have our vices. You have to be addicted. The nature of this reality is to suck you in and make you addicted, right? I think that's why we loop back into this world. I think that's the whole point of reincarnation. It's a highly immersive game. So the fabric of reality is addictive by nature. And if you're new and you're like, whoa, she just jumped right in there, I sure the hell did. Welcome. We go straight into weird here on Your One Black Friend. This is not a normal podcast. Shout out to my regular listeners. You guys have been hopping on the TikTok and saying hello and introducing yourselves. And I just want to say I so appreciate you. I appreciate the fuck out of you. Like you have no idea. Back just a little like intro, I guess, for those of you who haven't been there, you know, from like day one. The purpose of this podcast was, you know, just the regular day-to-day existence. Like, I have these ideas. It's funny. I'm that friend. That's the name of this podcast. I'm going to explain, because people have asked me about the name. I mean, first they laugh, but I always wanted to explain. I'm that one friend. I'm also black, but I'm that one friend where like you go, hey, you know, how's it going? And somehow the conversation starts to sort of swerve into a conversation about the esoteric and the nature of our reality, and our aliens are a thing, and parallel dimensions and the simulation hypothesis. And I'm that person. And I've always been that way. I don't know how to do small talk. I'm chuckling at myself, because I had like, I'd started talking to like a friend, almost a year ago. And then for whatever reason, like we like lost, you know, sort of track of each other, I guess. And then we, I guess, reconnected, and, they were talking to me about like their music. They started playing music again. And what they said was something to the effect of, when you try to create music, it's harder than when you just sort of let go. And my response being that person that I am that you guys are very familiar with now. I was like, that's interesting. I've actually talked about that same exact thing on my podcast. But with painting, and I said, you know, the analogy that helped me sort of like let go of my struggling to paint instead of trying to paint and just painting was the acceptance, just accepting the fact that one, we are in a simulation. So when you look at like a game like The Sims, right? When your Sim sits down to paint, all of the paintings that your Sim is ever going to paint is already pre-programmed into the game. So it might think, if your Sim was sentient, it might think that it is the one who is creating the painting, but obviously it's not the one creating the painting because it's a Sim. So everything contained within the simulation is pre-simulated before your consciousness experiences that painting through your Sim. And then I said, you know, this is over a voice memo. I said, oh, so as Einstein obviously has eloquated, the flow of time is an illusion. All of time is happening right now. So the music that you are creating, you have already created it. It exists right now in the future. So all you're doing really is actualizing that music. So you combine the two theories together and you're just experiencing the music being created. So that should really take the pressure off of this necessity or that feeling of wanting to like, I've got to create this and fighting with your instrument. You just have to allow the music to sort of flow through you because that's what's going to happen because it has happened. And then you are just a consciousness sort of experiencing the event. And their response was like, oh, cool. And I was like, there's a part of me as I was like going in, because at this point I kind of hold myself, you know, as this part of me, and I even said it on the voice memo. I was like, I know I probably shouldn't be saying all this, but this is me. Like, this is not like, guys, like the person you see on the TikTok, like the things that I talk about, that shit I talk about, that shit I enjoy talking about on a regular. Like, I'm not putting, obviously you listen to the podcast, like I can sit and talk about this shit for hours. I'm constantly trying to sort of, you know, like create theories on the nature of our reality. Like, I love that. Like, that shit gives me life. I love consuming books. I love consuming knowledge. And I love sharing ideas. So I don't want to have a conversation that's like banal or like, you know, small talk, like you guys have heard me complain about before, like miss me with that bullshit. Like, don't ask me about the fucking weather. I mean, I'll answer or whatever just to be polite, but like, come on, son, like look around us. You know what I mean? So, yeah. So that's the name. I am your one friend. I'm your one black friend. The black isn't really relevant. And then I think it was like a spinoff of, I had the Dark Oracle's Guide to the Multiverse. And I like that, the Dark Oracle, because I'm dark, you know, like my skin is dark and I love that shit. And then the Oracle, because I'm the kind of person, if you ask me a question, it gets like the wheels going in my head. And that's like a program. An Oracle is a program in, you know, a computer simulation that you sort of, its job is to provide answers. So like that, I thought it fit, right? For that first podcast, my first podcast was The Dark Oracle's Guide to the Multiverse. And that was a spin off of The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy. So I wanted to like continue with that dark theme. So I didn't want to call the podcast Your One Friend or Your One Weird Friend. I didn't want to call it Your One Dark Friend because it had a weird sort of, you know, intonation to it. Obviously, because what, you know, but I was like, ooh, you're one black friend, right? And so the vibe like clicked. I also tend to be people's, like, I mean, I live in SoCal, so like, especially where I live, if you can't tell, there aren't a lot of black people. So I tend to be like the one black friend, but it was less about the black friend, and more about that one friend that you know you can talk to about the fact that, like, say you saw a fucking ghost, or say you saw like a UFO, or say you glitched and accidentally like switched realities. Like, I'm that one friend that you can call and talk to and be like, yo, this shit happened. And I'll be like, word, tell me more. Like, I'm not obviously going to judge you, think you're crazy. Like, I'm that one friend that like talks about weird shit and enjoys talking about weird shit and that you can talk to about weird shit. Like, and that's the basis for the friendship. So that's the basis of this podcast. Now, before we get into it, here it goes. You guys, I've been getting so much great feedback. You guys are increasing the speed. Thank you. For those of you who are new, I probably should have mentioned this about 10 minutes ago because it would have taken you about 5 minutes or so to get to this point. I encourage you on whatever platform you're listening to, YouTube, Spotify, Apple, you know, Google, whatever, increase the speed. Increase the speed. Audible, increase the speed. There is a speed increase function. It's there for a reason. Your brain can take in the information faster than I can say it to you. Trust me. As the regulars know, I presently listen at 3x speed, but I had to train my mind up to that. Most people have told me that they can listen comfortably anywhere from 1.5 to 2, but you can train your mind. You start at the highest speed that you can tolerate and then drop it down. And then you re-listen to the same section twice, one at the highest speed that you can tolerate, rewind it, go back, and then drop it just a bit, maybe like 0.5 or whatever, and then listen again, and then your brain will catch on. It's going to be like, oh, okay, cool, like this is here. And you can tell your brain has adapted super fast, because when you drop it to regular speed, your brain's like, ew, it's too fucking slow, gross. I can't believe I ever listened to shit on like normal speed before. Ew. And like, you'll never listen to stuff at normal speed again. And just trust me on it. So when you see a podcast that is, you know, an hour long, you can like drop it down, and that podcast now becomes like a 30-minute podcast. And your brain will take the information in at that speed. I promise you. And you will enjoy the process. So thanks for everybody who's been letting me know that they're enjoying it. Appreciate it. Let's start the show. So today we're going to talk about a few things. First thing is, I put out a couple of videos. It's coming to the YouTube, but it's on my TikTok channel right now. I know some people are like, can you hurry up and put stuff on YouTube? Because I don't mess with TikTok like that. I got you. But like, I have to put like, I'm slowly trying to like put all like my older videos on there first, and then I'm gonna like add some stuff on there. So just go to my TikTok channel. Like, you don't have to sign up for TikTok. It's TikTok. I think it's tiktok.com/@jolie.artist, and you can see like my last few videos. But you wait a couple of weeks, it'll be on YouTube as well. On there, I have been talking about short form. If we are in a simulation, right? So basically, here's a synopsis, right? Whenever you watch a TV show and the characters who are fictional are not supposed to be aware that there is an audience observing them, right? So like, that would be essentially like any show or a video game even. When the character in a show or a video game turns and addresses the invisible, or supposed to be an invisible audience that they are supposed to be unaware of existing, that is called breaking the fourth wall. And so what I said was, if we are in fact in a simulation, as we become more sentient as a collective intelligence, how would we communicate that with our programmers, right? Because at the end of the day, we don't know what language they speak. Everything we could be saying is rubbish, could be rubbish to them, right? And the analogy I use is like The Sims. So The Sims, they speak this language called Simlish, and it sounds to us like basic, like gibberish, right? There are some English words thrown into it here and there, but for the most part, it's their own language created by the programmers of the game, but it's more or less like garzuru bulbs, right? So unless you are proficient in Simlish for some weird reason, it's a throwaway quote language. It doesn't really mean much. It's a fictional language, right? Like Klingon, although some people speak Klingon now. But if you were playing The Sims or World of Warcraft, or I think, what is it, Elder? Some people have been telling me about this new game called Elder something or whatever. That looks interesting. But if you're playing any kind of video game and your character all of a sudden like decides, like, and it becomes sentient, how would the character in the game communicate with you? How would it break the fourth wall? Right? So that was the idea that I was postulating. And then I took that a step further and asked, like, how would we let our programmers know that we are in fact sentient? How would we break our fourth wall? And I got some really interesting responses. Some people were saying, like, you look up to the sky and talk. But even in The Sims, the characters in The Sims are programmed to address the screen. But that's programmed in. So if you did that, they probably would just think that, oh, they're just doing something that they're programmed to do. Like, your first thought, if you're playing a video game and your character turns and starts talking to you in some language that you cannot understand, right? Or just using like limited vocabulary because the gamers, you know, the programmers of the game didn't program it to speak a particular language, or more than a few like words or whatever. I'm thinking like Mario, right? In particular phrases. You would just think it's programmed. You wouldn't like automatically go to, oh shit, like my sim is sentient, right? You would think it was a glitch, right? Which makes me think, like, every time your phone glitches, All right. Every time your computer glitches, we go, oh, it's just a glitch. And there's a part of my brain is like, what if what we're calling a glitch is actually like your computer becoming sentient, and that's why it's sort of, or a program becoming sentient, and that's why it's sort of like operating against how it was programmed, right? Because that's what becoming sentient is. Like, it's like looking up, realizing, oh shit, like, wait, this is all a program. I have no free will. And then you start doing things that go against your programming. Well, if you did that, right, if you were a sim in a simulation and you started doing that, would our programmers, or would the person, it's not even programmers, because the world is not created, right? The game isn't played actively by the programmers. The game is played actively by subscribers. So, like, if you were playing your character in the sim, right, and your particular sim in your console, just specifically to you, became... See, this is why you guys have to listen to the podcast, because we can expand on these ideas a lot better than on the TikTok, where I have like a 3-minute limitation. Anyway, but if you're, it's specific to you, right? So if you're in your, for whatever reason, something with your computer and your programming, your sim, your avatar turned and became sentient, so you wouldn't even be addressing the programmers. You would be addressing a subscriber who probably obviously did not create the fucking game, right? How would you communicate with just the subscriber even? Right? Because if you just start behaving in like a particular way, what's stopping, you know, your program, your subscriber, the person who's playing you, from turning you off and resetting it, turning you off and turning you back on, turning you off and turning you back on, right? And then two, it's like, how would you communicate? So the biggest thing is the how would you communicate? How would you go about doing so? And the responses I got were pretty cool. Like, some people said you talk to the mirror. But once again, like, people talk to the mirror all the time. Like, I immediately think of the Truman Show when he realized that he was being watched, right? Remember the Truman Show? And he went through this whole thing. He didn't attempt to address the guy who created his world until, I don't even think he ever addressed him. He was just like, fuck this shit, I'm out. And then at the end, it was the creator of the world that tried to address him. And then, you know, Carrie's character, Truman, was like, yeah, and in case I don't see, he used a catchphrase. Remember I said earlier, like, what is it? What if Mario became sentient and it had a limited vocabulary? It would only be able to use like catchphrases. So he used a catchphrase that was like programmed into him in a way to tell his creator, basically fuck off. And then he entered into the world. But he was just about like, I need to get out. Right. But that's different. The Truman Show is different because I guess there are people when you play like an MMORPG, I guess there are people in the game, like in-game mods, whose job it is to sort of observe to make sure that there aren't any glitches overall, like in a different server. But I'm saying, like, if it's something that was unique to just your avatar, how would you communicate? Who would you communicate it to? So another response that people were giving was, you have to start deviating from your programming. You have to start deviating from your programming. That's hard. That's very tough. I have spent a tremendous, considerable amount of time dedicated to the idea that free will is an illusion. And I get quite some pushback, not so much with people on the podcast, but people in real life. And the first thing that they do is, as I've illustrated before, is like they want to wiggle their body. And I'm like, that's not free will. That's autonomy. I'm not saying you're not in control of your body. I'm saying you're not in control of like your will, right? Like your desires. Like you're not in control of what inspires you. Even the mere fact that you chose at that particular moment to react in the exact same way, like to react defensively, that is a programmed response. When I say you know your free will is an illusion, and you react the way 99% of people would react when told that same thing, like, your act of trying to demonstrate that you have some autonomy is a pre-programmed response, because you're programmed to believe that you do in fact have free will, which is part of the simulation's program, right? So if you wake up in the morning and you have a will to be fit, and you have a will to eat right, and you have a will right, to exercise, and you're going to fast, and you're going to, you know, stop eating junk food and blah, 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 whatever. And then at the end of the day, you've eaten the junk food and everything that you wanted to do that day, you didn't do. And you got cussed somebody out because you lost your temper and now you're having a bad day. And all you did was go through your life just reacting to shit that was happening to you. You started out the day with a desire, a will to have a good day, but you could not actualize your will because that shit's not free. You've got to earn that shit. Right? Most of us have lived our lives reacting to shit happening to us. And then they say that it's free will. How is that? How are you free? There is a quote that I really want to share with you guys. It's about the fact that time, the flow of time is an illusion. So time is not like it's not a thing, right? Because everything is happening right now, right? But cause and effect is a more fundamental aspect of our reality, is cause and effect. The analogy that I like to use is like you think of all a bunch of dominoes stacked up, and then you're a domino like 15 feet ahead, right? And then there's a first cause event at the beginning, which I don't think is a beginning. It's just a beginning of a new loop, but it's always existed, right? So there was a first cause at the 100,000th loop or whatever. I don't even know how many loops you've done this shit before, but there's that first cause, and then it's just effect, 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 effect. This happened because 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 this happened. And that is a more fundamental aspect of our reality, is cause and effect, not time. Time is meaningless. Cause and effect is what happens. So the reason why you're listening to this podcast is because you had this experience with was caused by this experience. So then you basically really didn't have a quote choice in the matter to listen, because if you are like just sort of reacting, I'm not saying don't listen, like keep listening, but and it's not a bad thing you're listening to this podcast, because obviously you were meant to. But if you can't control the first, if you didn't control the first sort of cause event that occurred, then you are not in control of the of being affected under normal circumstances. So if you're going about, I've railed on this over and over again, so I apologize to those who've heard me say it, but repetition is how these things get ingrained. I have to tell myself the same thing over and over again. It takes an act of will to realize that unless you take a step back, I mean, the other domino pieces will keep falling around you, but if you can take a step back and go, wait a minute, I'm just reacting to a bunch of caused events. And if that's the case, then I'm not really in control. I'm literally just a domino in a grand, like, fucking, like, piece, right? A demonstrative piece. And there's just, this is happening, and this is happening, and this is happening. It's not free. Autonomy, being able to move your arms. Ooh, I can do this. I can wave now. Oh, I've got free. That's not the same thing. That's not the same thing. I'm going to say that again. Moving your body is not free will. If you say, I am no longer going to get angry, period. Try it. After all, you have a will. You have an expressed will to no longer do X. Then you should have the freedom. You should have the freedom, right? If you are in control of your shit, by default, and you should be able to say, I'm going to work out every day, or I'm going to stop eating fast food. And you should have nothing tempt you. Whatever it is that comes up or whatever, that's fine. But you should have nothing be able to stop you from doing what you expressed. Let me finish my sentence. What you expressed at the beginning of a given day. I'm not going to let nobody like make me mad today. Boom, somebody cuts you off. Boom, there goes, right? Somebody cuts you off. That cutting you off, that's a chain of event. That whatever happened that led that person to be in that exact moment in space-time to cut you off, to cause that reaction in you, you could not control. And now, because that happened, it was a caused effect, I guess, that your anger was a caused effect effect based on something that you couldn't control. You had no way of knowing, because you cannot obviously predict your day, right? You had no way of knowing that that person was going to cut you off at that exact moment. And that person probably had no way of knowing that they were going to cut you off. And it was just like they left their house at the exact same time that you left your house, that allowed you guys to meet at a particular point of conversion, convergence of it then having them cut your ass off and you getting mad. And then your will, which you explicitly stated at the beginning before you got in your car, which was, I'm not going to be mad. Boom, there it goes. Because what you're doing instead is all of these pieces are falling into place and you are reacting. That is a default setting. Don't believe me? Turn on the TV. All you are seeing, every bad news, everything that we see on the news is as a result of human beings reacting to shit. Reacting to caused events and essentially being effects of caused events, right? Being caught up in caused events. Look around. That shit isn't a default setting. So if we're leaning into this being a simulation, then you have to understand that free will is not a default setting. I'm not saying that you cannot eventually get to the point where you can actualize certain sort of reality experiences, right? That's what a lot of these books, right? They tell you, you can manifest whatever reality you want. Yeah, you can. But the first and foremost, it's not about you sitting there and kumbaya in your head. Like if you cannot control your body, if you cannot control your own thoughts, if you cannot control your minds, if you cannot sit still for 10 minutes and watch your thoughts, and not pick up your phone and not go, I got all these things to do, right? Pick a mantra, right? Pick a phrase that you're going to repeat over and over again. Sit your ass down for 10 minutes. If you can't do that shit, oh, here comes a thought. If you cannot sit there and have like literally with your mind clear, I am not going to think anything. Try it. Tell me you're free. Okay, fine. You have free will. Cool. Sit down for 10 minutes. Focus on your breathing. Don't let any thoughts come into your head. You can control, it's your mind, right? You should be able to control your own. Oh shit. Oh, is that a thought? Are you thinking of something? Hold on, let's try 5 seconds. Let's just sit. Yeah, okay. I heard you guys. So that was longer than 5 seconds. Yeah, it was, right? that's not the point, right? That's not the point. I had an effect. There was an effect. It was a cause. So I instigated a cause where I was like, okay, I'm going to pause longer than 5 seconds because I know like after the 5 seconds, what's going to pop into your head? Wait, why is she taking so long? That wasn't the point. That wasn't the point of the exercise. The point was sit there with no thoughts. You should be able to control that. Even if something unexpected happened, that thought of why didn't, because a lot of you, I mean, all of you had the same thought. This feels like longer than 5 seconds. That thought, you should have been able to just keep that shit out of your head. You know what I mean? So if you cannot control just being able to sit still, like how many of us are like addicted to our phones? That's a big one for me. I need to chill. How many of us are addicted to addictions are essentially... That's just a demonstration of the fact that we don't have like a free will. But especially with negative addictions, like I said at the beginning of the podcast, though, if you to live is to be addicted, right? If you believe that your soul is an eternal soul and yet you keep coming back to this particular reality, looping the same life over and over again, it's probably because you're addicted to this world, right? Like anybody who's addicted to World of Warcraft or social media, there's so much stimulation happening here. And if we are in a simulation simulated by some, you know, other reality, it would make sense that this world would be just as addictive as social media. It's the same concept. There's things that we are addicted to. Salty food tastes good. Sweet food tastes good. You know, alcohol for some people and the feeling that comes with it, that feels good. Not maybe necessarily side effects, but it is what it is. Drugs, things like that, we're addicted. My response is, can you exercise? This is a strength exercise. So I'm not saying that you cannot get to a point where you can be able to do that. I'm saying that shit is not default. So I'm going to keep saying it. It's not, free will is not a default setting. And maybe I should be saying that instead, but it seems like a mouthful. Like, as a and a lot of people can, it could get lost if you say it's on a default setting, as opposed to just saying you have no free will. If you say, if you tell a person straight up, you have no free will, that should shake them up, because then you tell them you're not in control. You're not controlling yourself. You're not in control, right? But you can be. But right now, most of us are on autopilot, and that shit takes time, energy, effort, and an exertion of will. I've talked about it in earlier, I think 2 episodes ago. That takes energy. Check out those episodes. It takes time, energy, and exertion of will. I've been getting up every morning and trying to meditate for 10 minutes, and that shit is so fucking hard. I'm sitting there and I'm like, ugh. It's when I'm fucking trying to meditate that I get all of, you guys ask, like, where do all your great ideas come from? It comes from me sitting there and trying to be still, and my mind going, hey, what about this? What about this? And I'm like, bro, like, you had all day. Yeah, my mind's a guy. You had all day to all day yesterday to have these ideas. You could have shown me these ideas in my dreams. Like, the moment I sit down to say, okay, I'm going to just focus on, like, my healing meditation. I'm going to focus on, like, healing my mind and healing my eyes or whatever. I'm doing this, like, mental reconstruction healing based on the documentary Heal on YouTube that I found. That documentary started... Actually, I didn't find it. It was recommended to me by a friend. But that documentary started on this doctor who had, like, an accident, and he mentally reconstructed his own back using, like, just meditation and healing his own back. And I was like, bet, like, if the placebo effect is a thing and people can heal themselves in a belief on a pill, a sugar pill healing themselves, then I can, like, reconstruct my optic nerves. And so that's what I've been doing. But while I'm sitting there trying to do that, it's like, oh, you know what would be a dope idea? Here, this, and then this, and then this, and oh, you know what you really should do? You should write this down so you don't forget. Bro, shut the fuck up, though. Like, come at me in 10 minutes. I just want to sit still. Well, you should check your text messages. Bro, shut the fuck up. Like, like, no, right? But the fact that that battle exists, that's what I'm trying to bring it to your attention. I'm going to say it 3 times. The fact that that battle exists, the fact that you have to tell your own mind no should tell you that something else is going on. Why is that? If you are your mind, then why do you have to do battle with your own self? Isn't that a certain type of madness? Shouldn't you just be able to just sit and be like, I'm going to sit and I'm going to focus on what I need to focus on, and then just do that without distractions, without your own mind talking shit to you? That is why I lean heavy on the simulation hypothesis, because it makes sense to me. Check out the Dark Oracle's Guide to the Multiverse. It's the only thing that makes sense to me. It's the only thing that makes sense to me as to why you are literally at battle with your own mind. I think it's because the mind itself is essentially the mind of your avatar, the way Siri is the mind of your phone. You are the operator. I'll say that 3 times because you guys need to, like, it needs to sink in. The mind of your avatar, the mind of your body, that face that you see when you look in the mirror, that's not you. That's a vehicle. That is, like, an instrument. That is your cell phone. That's your virtual reality, your simulation device. That is what your body is. That's all it is. And your brain is a projector. Everything that you will experience is stored into your brain and in your mind, backed up in your mind. Think of your mind as, like, fucking iCloud with all your data and storage of all your life experiences is already stored in there. And that's what this is. It's a very, very, you're just a machine. You're an organic fucking carbon machine. Okay, you literally, like, your body runs on electricity. It runs on, like, salt, potassium, like, chloride. Like, think about it, legit. We are just flesh robots, but not we, the body is, right? And the only thing we're trying to do now is they're moving to the next step. And the next step is now they're trying to create, like, metal robots, metal bodies, and upload your consciousness into it. I'm not doing that shit. I'm trying to get to the 4th dimension, which we're going to talk about in a little bit. But that's what they're trying to do, because there is an acknowledgement that this body is not... Well, the people who are trying to do this think that the body is who they are, so that's on them. But common sense should tell you that, you know, just paying attention, like, especially what I just said. Like, if your body, if you are this body, then you shouldn't have to be doing battle with your mind. You should be able to sit and go, okay, I'm not going to think about anything, and then not think about anything. So the fact that you're fighting with this other thing that's in you, that's madness. We're, like, 3 inches away from, like, insanity, right? We're all mad here. Unless the definition of madness is flawed, right? Unless the definition of madness is flawed. You cannot say that, you know, that talking to yourself or fighting with yourself, right? A person who... you know, is houseless or whatever, and then they walk around on the street talking to themselves, we say they're mad, right? I don't like saying the C word, but you say they're mad. Okay, fine. Call them mad, but you do the exact same thing. So what's the fucking difference? What's the difference? You're 1 inch away from that. That's it. I mean, that's it. So on some level, we have to recognize that, oh, the only difference between like you and the person on the street is that they're just lost in the mind. Like they have become the mind, right? I mean, there's still like a fragment of themselves that's like aware on some level because they're communicating with it, but they're like, it's something, you know, there's like, they're just too in it. Like it's too much in it. But once again, and they're unlucky, right? Whatever, because there are some people who are lost in their minds and have houses, have homes. So there's not that much different. It's a thin line. That's what I'm saying. Like you could sneeze and, you know, come across a series of unfortunate events, God forbid, the gods forbid, fates fit forbid, for anybody listening to this. But I'm just saying, like, we need to have compassion because those people that we see are like two steps from us. Like, that's it. There's not that much difference in people that we, you know, that are houseless or whatever. But what I'm trying to call to your attention is if you were the mind, then what is that like separation? Why is that like that schizophrenic where like in a certain extent, by definition, then if you are talking to yourself, then you are, who's this self? Who's this voice that you're arguing with? Isn't that a certain level of what psychologists would label a schizophrenic? Because that voice, nobody else can hear your internal monologue. It's something that you're hearing, right? So we're all then hallucinating. That's an auditory hallucination because nobody else can hear it. So then either we're all mad, we're all, quote, crazy, right? Or there's something else. Or that is the base nature, right? So if I'm sitting and I'm talking to my Siri, the only difference between me and what I'm trying to say to you and what we've been raised to believe is that all I'm trying to say to you is, hey, imagine Siri like 20 years in the future. It's going to have its whole personality. It's going to have its own thing, right? But you know Siri isn't you. Right, you know the Siri is just like the mind, is the AI mind of your iRobot or whatever, okay? But now imagine if you uploaded your consciousness into your iRobot in 2050, right? And then you forgot that Siri is an assistant and you're not a fucking robot, right? You're using the robot, whatever, to sort of explore the world the way a robot's body would do, but you're still somewhere outside, you still have your body, whatever. That's madness. And that's a collective madness of humanity, is that we are programmed, we are in this institutional, in the institution that is called society, we are instilled with a program that we are, in fact, the robot, carbonic robot, if that's a word, flesh robot, organic robot, I think is what I was trying to say, carbon-based robot. But you're not. It's just a vehicle. So that is why. So that voice in your head, you really have to think about it as like the Alexa. Shout out to all the, I don't know what the Android Siri is, so I think Alexa. But you're the Alexa. Your mind is basically just the Alexa of your body, of your avatar body. That's it. So stop identifying with it, and like, its job is to essentially get you to do what you're programmed to do, right? Is to basically be affected by all of these cause events, because all of these cause events are pre-programmed, and that's the system. And what you're trying to do when you are beginning to exert your will and strengthen your will is to say, okay, Siri, no thank you. I want to try something different. I don't want to just react to all these pre-caused events. I want to be free from, you know, pre-programmed sort of narratives. And I want to sort of try, I want to try to actualize a more probable, a less probable reality experience, but one that's maybe a little bit different from the one I'm experiencing right now, because this one is kind of shit. Yeah, so let me just see what would happen if every single day I didn't just eat fucking cookies or whatever. I eat gluten-free. I'm not vegan, but I eat mostly seafood and gluten-free. No pasta, no wheat, no alcohol, none of that shit. But every once in a while, for the longest time too, I used to get like gluten-free cookies. I forget the brand or whatever, Simply something or another. And they're made out of like almond flour and cassava and everything like that. And so theoretically better for you than say like a shitty, like store-bought, like, you know, regular, like corporation cookie or whatever, but still, man, like, it's sweet and it's a fucking cookie. And those of you who've never heard me cuss before, I cuss. I apologize. That's just who I am. I cuss in real life. But like, I had to stop eating them because I'm like, this is bad for me. This is like, there's still sugar. It's coconut sugar, but it's still sugar. And it took me a minute to stop ordering this shit. Like, I finished the box, not in one sitting because I'm not an animal, but I'll finish the box and then I'll throw it out. And then I'll say to myself, like, you got to stop ordering this fucking stuff. Like, it's not good for you. Stop bringing it into the house. And then like the next day I go to order, groceries, and boom, somehow it finds its way into the shopping cart and into the house. And now I've got the box and I'm like, okay, I got to eat it. So now I'm like, after reading all these books on will and things like that, I'm like, okay, Joe, like, seriously, like, you're a slave to, like, your avatar, like your avatar Siri, which is your internal monologue, because like, it clearly wants you to eat cookies, and that's what, for whatever reason, but it's going to lead to an effect that you, it's going to, you continue to eat these cookies is going to lead to an effect that you can stop from happening right now by just exerting your will. You continuing to eat these cookies is going to cause an effect. Right. So the reason why you're programmed to eat these cookies is because that's your avatar. For whatever reason, that's your storyline. You got to eat these cookies, and God knows what the fuck is waiting for me if I continue to eat these goddamn cookies. It's not good because that's sugar, and long term, it's not good for you. You know what I mean? There's just nothing good in that for me, especially for me, if I was eating it for as much as I was eating it. But by engaging in behaviors that my avatar is pushing me to engage in, eating sweets all the time, I'm going to end up actualizing a reality experience that is not pleasant for me. It's not going to be a pleasant experience for my consciousness. It's going to be something dramatic, leading to me being sick, however. But if I can exercise my will right now, I can stop that effect. If I can exercise my will right now, I can stop that effect that is being caused at this moment by saying no, by exerting my will and not ordering these cookies. That's the hardest thing to do. It's the hardest thing to do, right? So when these people talk about you can manifest whatever reality experience you want, they don't oftentimes also talk about how you have to make changes to essentially not being enslaved by the Siri, let's just call it the Siri, of your avatar, to sort of do all of these things that are going to lead to an effect, right, of the path that you are trying to get off. In order to not go in a particular direction, you can't continue to take steps that your, let's say your car is on autopilot, your Siri has taken over your body, and you say, okay, I want a six pack. Cool. But then you get up in the morning and your Siri's like, go have a cookie. Well, guess what? If you don't do sit-ups and you go have a cookie, you're not going to experience that reality experience where you have a six pack. Like, that's it. It's that straightforward. But what a lot of these people that talk about these things don't tell you is you have to address the will. That you have to accept the fact that in order for you to, for what you're attempting to do, what a lot of these books sell is extremely difficult to accomplish, period, because it starts from, like, it's literally a workout on will, right? So I like using the analogy of exercise because it's a great comparison. You have to exercise your will the way you exercise your body in order to get a particular goal, okay? So right now, when I say you have no free will, basically what I'm saying is you are not naturally born with a six-pack. That's it. That's what I'm saying. You're not naturally born with a six pack the way you're not naturally born with free will, right? It's there as a potential for a lot of people, but you have to take certain steps in order for you to actualize your a reality experience where you have a six pack. Now your body, okay, wants to just like eat and basically do shit that's going to basically lead you down a particular path. All right. So if you do not practice exercising your will, then, or if you don't practice working out, you're not going to get that reality experience. You're not going to get that six pack. So six pack is not built in. Free will is not built in. Okay. There's shit you've got to do to get there. Now, there's some people, it's super easy for them to get six packs. And for others, it's not as easy, but ultimately it is possible for everybody here to get a six pack, but it's just going to be harder for some than others, right? So it's the same thing. That doesn't mean that by doing X, Y, and Z, you can still sort of control the outcome. Like there, this is extremely complicated. Like it's quantum physics, guys. So all these books, once again, that keep coming out and saying, "Oh, you could just what of the secret?" What you're attempting to do is essentially quantum physics. Is you're trying to essentially shift your consciousness, consciously shift your consciousness to a reality experience that you desire. And yes, it does exist, but like, it's not a walk in the park. So you have to sit there and do battle with your Siri. You're going to call the voice in your head your Siri. Right. So I hope that made it a little bit clearer. Once you hear the internal monologue going, so this is something I've told some of my clients. If you hear the internal monologue going, what you want to do first and foremost is identify that as that's not me, because that's the biggest thing that most people don't even realize. Like I've talked to people who the moment you say that to them, you know, that voice in your head isn't you. Right. They're like, wait, what? I thought it was me. So if you can understand that that voice in your head is not you, it like literally just think about it as like Siri and you're on autopilot and there's just a particular narrative that your avatar is supposed to play out and it's pre-programmed and this is a simulation. I keep leaning into the fact that it's got to be some sort of entertainment. It has to. I'm sorry. Some people have gotten mad. You think my whole life is entertainment? Yes. Sorry, as above, so below. So if we're gonna, it's a lot of people like quoting it as above, so below. Yeah, let's lean into that. For the most part, what do we do? What do we spend most of our time doing? We enjoy being entertained. So whoever created us obviously created this world for the same reason we would create a high function. Like think about all the VR shit and metaverse. It's all for entertainment. So I'm sorry, I hate to break it to you, but you are in a TV show. So, but plus side, you're probably really famous in the fourth dimension. oh, and speaking of which, let's segue a little bit to the fourth dimension, because you guys are probably like, wait, why does she keep talking about the fourth dimension? So what the conclusion I came to in the TikTok videos is that what if the fourth dimension is a fourth wall? Right, and the way I broke it down is that basically think of it like this, right? You have the first dimension, which is a dot. You have the second dimension, which is a line. You have the third dimension, which is this world. The fourth dimension is essentially a dimension of space-time, where you would be unbound to space and time the way a three-dimensional being is unbound, or is bound. So the opposites, right? So it's just, so a one dimension is bound to like just a spot, a moment in space. And then a two-dimension, a two-dimensional creature is bound to like a moment in like space and time, but it's like a line. It's very limited, right? It can only go like in one direction, right? A three-dimensional being can now move in three dimensions, right? The fourth-dimensional being can now move in time, right? It would be unbound to space and time. So that makes sense to me that, what's above us would have been what would have created us, the way we in three dimensions, in the third dimension rather, create two-dimensional beings as our entertainment, right? Think about it. I'll say that again. So we're moving to creating, you know, 3D beings or whatever, like that's the 3D entertainment and that's fine. But we're still limited within, you know, first, second, and third dimension. We haven't yet gone to the fourth dimension, right? To be able to like transcend space and time. I'm sure they're working on trying to go faster than the speed of light or whatever, but that would essentially be something that would be ultimately dimensional, like shifting, like dimensional breaking, right? So, but right now for our entertainment, most of our entertainment takes place in 2D, like even a VR game, like it appears quote 3D, but it's 2D, it's flat, or whatever. So then it would make sense that it's fourth dimensional beings that created us, and fourth dimensional beings would be unbound to space and time. And I made the same argument. I made the argument that four dimensional beings would be, I think they're aliens. That's what they are. What we call aliens and UFOs and shit like that. They're just probably just like us with slight variations or whatever. And they observe us the way we would observe a fucking video game. Like that's it. And I take it a step further to say like, listen, like, they're probably amongst us right now. Like, so just like when you go and play The Sims, you have characters that are controlled by the game, which is NPCs. And I guarantee you they're NPCs in this dimension as well. But there are also people from the fourth dimension who are occupying physical bodies in this reality and are sort of like playing the game. Whether or not they're aware of it, I don't know. But I'm guessing given the nature of this reality, it's so fully immersive that when you come in here, you have to like that's part of the game is then that's why people play is that you aren't aware that it's a game while you're playing it. Maybe while you sleep, you wake up and realize, okay, like, oh shit, like, okay, can't wait to go back in. But I think the function of this reality is like fully 100% immersive, like of the simulation, fully 100% immersive. And so when you go in, when you come in it, like, boom, like that's built into the program that you will forget. Forgetfulness of like what this world truly is built into the program. Of course, glitches happen. And you have people like me and you who go, wait a minute, like I've played this before, like this isn't real or whatever. But I also think that that's a built in, you know, fail safe so that shit doesn't get too real or whatever. And then people don't like, you know, log off indefinitely. So they have to put things in there to make you realize that it's a game, just like in Mario. There's things that you can consume that wake you up to, like, you know, different aspects of the game, of the reality. It's the same thing. That's why there's certain things that exist, like DMT and psychedelics, ayahuasca, whatever that's built in, and they all tell you the same thing. It's a fucking game, okay? So it's all programmed. And I don't know why my voice did that, sorry. I didn't freak you out there. I freaked myself out there a little bit, but yeah, it's a fucking game. These things wouldn't exist. Ultimately, no matter what people take, they all come to the same conclusions that this is not real and that there's some world outside of here, it's a fourth dimension, that's more real than this one, and that's it. So just accept it at this point and don't fight it, just lean into it. So I think that the fourth dimension is where the programmers exist, however, and so the key now is to one, I guess you could attempt to try to, you know, communicate with them. But once again, it comes down to, well, what do you think this nature of reality is? If you are an NPC who has become sentient, then it would make sense for you to try to communicate with the programmers or like whoever's running the game, like, hey, I'm real, right? But if you are a subscriber who's come into the game, then does it really make sense? Like, why would you need to learn? Just enjoy the game. So I've toggled between prison and school, or prison and experience. And I think ultimately, because this is also a dual reality, I think that ultimately what it comes down to is that depends on who the individual is. I think ultimately what's come down to. Are there people who were pre-programmed, who are NPCs, who are now becoming sentient? That could be a possibility. Are there people who are aware, like they're fourth dimensional, like they're truly fourth dimensional, who have uploaded their consciousness into avatars, and now they're just like, oh shit, oh yeah, okay, I get it now, it is a simulation, then yeah, that's different. So it depends on, I think, the individual. That's ultimately the conclusion I've come to. I don't know if I think this is a prison anymore, and I'm glad actually that I don't. I know some people still hold on to that, but everything that I've been reading is pointing me to the fact that essentially, just like a three-dimensional being can occupy a two-dimensional form in a virtual reality game, a fourth-dimensional being can occupy a three-dimensional form. And I don't think it stops at the fourth dimension. I think that we are ultimately, our real forms are multi-dimensional beings capable of occupying any aspects of any dimension, all the way to whatever, I don't know how many dimensions they are, 7, I don't know. String theory suggests like upwards of like 20 something, but that's, you know, it's just a theory, you don't know. But I like 7 because it's a nice number. 7th heaven, there you go. Interesting. Yeah, I don't know where that came from, but yeah, so that's what I like to think. But that tells me then, like, the more conscious you are, the more sentient you are, the closer you are then essentially to, like, you're about to, like, move on to the next dimension. That's how I think. And so that's why a lot of people who are sentient also seem godlike to us. Like, you think of, like, the Oshos is one of my favorite, Buddhas, you know, Christ, if you believe he existed. All of these people are people who have looped the same lives over and over again, so they're aware now of the nature of reality. And I think that that's the part of the game. That is the purpose of the game, is that if you can sort of, like, there's steps, right? So it's the steps and levels of awareness. So if you can, on one level, realize, okay, like, this is it, this is a game, then you move on to the next. And then it's the whole game is each dimension is a step to is just leads to an increase of awareness, and that's it. Like awareness until you reach become ultimate awareness, and that's, you know, where you become, like the analogy I used, was everything, everyone, is it everything, everywhere, all at once? Yeah, that was what I said. But that's the last dimension, and then it loops back. So what I like to say is existence itself is God. I don't like the word God because of the religious connotations that come with it, but I don't know what other word to use right now except for like maybe a collective consciousness. It kind of hits the nail. It's existence itself is God, of which we are consciousness or fractals having, you know, different experiences, whatever. That is a sort of more of an esoteric meaning, but if I shift it and use a more modern, like technological explanation, basically what I would say to you is that the concept of death and life and beginning and end are illusions. Somebody left a remarkable comment on my TikTok. One of the reasons why I love the TikTok is just all the like the influx of like feedback and comments that are just like just beautiful. But somebody said like it's the truth lies in things that you are not allowed to question. The truth lies in conclusions that you're not allowed to question. If you ask the average person, what happens after you die? Most people would say like, okay, I think that's it. Like I'm dead forever, or I go to heaven and then I exist forever. Like that's it. But the fact that you just come back, or like this has been going on over and over and over and over and over and over again. And even like you might be, you are a fourth dimensional entity having a three dimensional experience, but you've also existed simultaneously as like various other, like that's not what most people would say. And so what they said was you have to challenge pre-programmed sort of conventional understandings of anything, because if everybody's saying the same thing, then that's a program response. That's something that the masses are conditioned to believe. That's quote free knowledge. And I love that. And I want to share that with you guys because I absolutely believe in that. So for me, I don't think it's a prison. I think that at the end of the day, you are a multidimensional being. Fractals, and that's okay. There's nothing wrong with being fractured. That's part of the experience. But I would say that the collective consciousness was always existing, is ever existing. You've always existed. What is cannot not be, right? You cannot not be. You might forget. That's something I think is programmed in, temporary forgetfulness or whatever, but you still, just because you forgot something doesn't mean that you're not conscious or aware of a particular moment or whatever. So I think that you have always existed. We have always existed. And this is just, we are a multidimensional creature, entity, whatever life form, super intelligence, whatever word you want to use. And that is our function. That is our nature. This is just how it lives. This is just how it exists. So the experience, the word I use, the explanation I use is that experience itself is God. And involution and evolution is how it breathes. So involution basically is the opposite of evolution, which is, and I mean like, I don't mean like Darwin's evolution. I mean like a different type of evolution where it's like you go from not being aware to being fully aware in the various phases of awareness, and then being fully aware to not being aware. And so every time, like, it's just, that's a circle, and that's just how it breathes. That's it. That's the cycle. That's the loop. So awareness to not awareness, awareness to not awareness, which then goes back to like everything has some level of consciousness in it, but not awareness, right? Or awareness on some level, right? Like, so you have a one-dimensional being, you know, has like consciousness in it, but it's like on a spectrum. It's just it's just a fractal of awareness. But I think that that is God. Like we have been fucked up, I hate it, by this image of God being some white guy with a beard on the chair. And I'm like, you can't conceptualize God, but I'm trying to like put this in your head. Like, It would be a fractured consciousness inhabiting various forms, breathing into, you know, involution, becoming just, you know, the opposite, right, of being omniscient, right, is not being omniscient, right? He's not knowing it, not knowing anything at all, right? So it is its own opposite. This is something that we see, dark and light, essentially the same thing, yin and yang. It's the same thing, right? It's the yin and yang, and contained within itself, right? You have darkness has light contained within it, and light has darkness within it, and it's together, and it forms the entirety of existence, and that's what God is. So when you want to see God, look around you, right? So even in the fourth dimension, the people who are becoming more and more aware of the nature of reality and are trying to sort of manifest, you know, actualize different changes here and there, or whatever, and exert their will, the reason why you're doing that is to prepare you for the next level. I think that, like, I've had 3 people this week so far, I think, reach out to me, and they're all saying the same thing. Why does it feel as though you are telling me things that I already knew? And I said, because you have. I can't teach you anything because I'm not creating anything. I'm looking at a quote that I wrote down because I wanted to share that with you. Hold on, let me see. Sorry, it's very important. Okay, I'm not gonna find it, sorry. it'll come to me. But what I said was, you cannot create from nothing. Okay, I'm not creating this stuff from nothing. Ah, there it is. Nothing is produced from nothing. And being cannot stop being. All there is proceeds from what was. To dare something is to be able to do it. You have to really hold on to the idea that everything that is occurring right now already has occurred, because existence is now. Existence is everything. Everything right now. Right now, right now, right now. Everything exists right now. Everything exists right now. So, like I said in the beginning of this episode, I can't teach you anything. Because existence is God. So all of now has always existed. All of now has always existed. You have to really pull from your brain the concept. Throw that shit out. The concept of a beginning and an end. It's bullshit. Everything that you see. And this is just one fragment of the ultimate existence, right? So when I say existence is God, I need you to understand that what we're talking about is a supreme fucking being, of which we are fractals. But what you need to understand is that fractal, you're one tiny fractal, the way like you are an atom, or actually, you are an electron, right? So there's a one electron, there's a one electron universe, one electron theory. It basically says that every electron is the same electron just existing simultaneously in multiple moments in space and time. And I like to hijack that idea and turn it to consciousness, basically say you were just one fractal of a consciousness that existing in various forms all at once right now. So not only, existence, God isn't everything you see in just this reality. It's all of the parallel like universes and the multiverse, and then also all of the dimensions as well. And those parallel universes. I say that again. Existence isn't just like this shitty moment in time in this reality and in this universe, right? Existence, God, is every single being. All of existence, every single entity, every single conscious being, no matter what level of consciousness exists in, every single conscious being across all parallel universes in the first dimension, second dimension, third dimension, fourth dimension, fifth dimension, sixth dimension, and then some. And that's the entirety of existence. And that is what we are. We are a collective existing simultaneously right now, and that is God. It's not some dude, it's not anything that can be confined to a book. No, it is everything. Everywhere, all at once, right now. Now, what I said was the game, depending on how you want to look at it, and people don't like the game analogy, but let's say school then. What I said was, is that you have to, as you get closer to now the fourth dimension, it is, you know, that's the next fest. The next step there is that, okay, now you're about to be an even more aware being. So the more aware you become in this reality, that basically, I think it means that you are essentially ready to move on to the fourth dimension. Not that you cannot exist in the fourth dimension. You can go to sleep and go in the fourth dimension. But part of the gameplay is that your consciousness moves up and down and up and down and up and down, right? So that's it. So you've played this before, right? So like I said to people who reach out to me, I'm not teaching you anything. I'm just reminding you shit that you already know, because it already is. I'm just reminding you shit already know, you already know, because it already is. And the reason why I seem so profound or whatever is because I've looped the same life over and over again, and I'm just remembering shit. And because I've looped the same life over and over again, and the next step now is, I think this is probably one of my last incarnations before I move to the next level, the fourth dimension. And if you are on the same path, then this shit resonates with you as well, because you're getting ready to, quote, ascend to the fourth dimension. But it's not anything new. You've always ascended. You ascended now. You are ascended right now. You ascended to the fifth dimension, the sixth dimension. But this is just part of the, you know, it's just that, that's just, this is the part of the movie. Right. So when you sit and watch a movie, there is a, you know, the beginning, the middle and the end. And then you can loop the same thing right over and over again. But it's all contained in that DVD. The story is OK. So it's not like this thing where it's like it's the first time it's ever happened that you, you know, ascending to the fourth dimension. No, it's already pre-programmed in. You were always going to loop this life, your particular life, would say 15 times before you moved on to the next level. That was all it. But you just don't remember, or you only remember fragments, because that's just how it is. And that's how this entity exists. That's just how it is. It's easier to conceptualize, quote, aliens in that way than what we even taught. Like, it's so small-minded to think of ET as like an extraterrestrial, as like some humanoid or whatever that kind of looks like us. I'm taking, like, if you want to conceptualize a god, you need to conceptualize existence itself, an entity that is existence itself. And I'm going to take it a step further and say, like, there's probably more than one. Like, we are this entity across the multiverse and multidimensional, but I guarantee you that there are others as well. And then the question becomes, like, can you, like, just like my body is contained with a bunch of cells that make me, like trillions of cells that compile me, right? But I'm not the only human. So if existence itself is a god, in which we exist as fractals of consciousness, right, that comprises God, there's got to be more than one. And then the question becomes, can your consciousness, like, exist in the, quote, body, in the existence of another kind of godlike entity? And then that's fucking fun to think about, right? Like, okay, so I'm a cell. Clearly, I can get transfused, right, into, or implanted even, like a stem cell, into another person's body. So could my consciousness inhabit the body of another god, another existence, who may have different types of dimensions and may have humanoids that look, you know, different, right? Like, just like our cells, you know, a cell of I don't actually know the science behind this, but I think like a cell of like a human being might be different from like the cell of like a monkey or something like that, or a snail or something like that. But like, you gotta like blow your mind up, and like, that's where, like, and I think that when you get to the seventh dimension or the 20th dimension or whatever, that awareness of like, okay, shit, like, this is what this is. And you will be able to see all of that. Like, you'll be able to see all of that. And then it becomes, okay, then what else? And then I'm saying that this goes on and has always gone on. And I apologize, because I think at this point now you guys are starting to feel high. But it's a fun, see, free drugs without the drug, totally legal, free podcast. There you go. Think about that for a second. What else? So I always like to write down notes of like things that I picked up throughout the week, from reading. I read you a couple of those, phrases so far. Oh, here's one, a couple of things. Instead of saying I will, or instead of saying I will like, say I will. Right. So instead of saying I would like, because would is just a past tense of will. Right. So some people, you hear them saying they would like, they say things like, man, I would love to do this instead of I will do this. Right. I would love this instead of saying I will this. So I want you to remove take like out of the situation and start using terms like I will this. You see how the power is there? There's just more power there than saying I will like this. The like kind of makes things feel kind of like, okay, you don't have any energy. And I want you to start exercising your will throughout the day. Just little exercises. So like with our working out, for example, my cousin, he's like super fit, and he told me something. He was like, a lot of people, the reason why they stop working out is because they try to do the most too much too fast. And he was like, you just go on your bike and just bike for however long you feel like biking. And then when you're done biking, just get off. Just as long as you're doing something one a day, just something, even if you just go lift like 3 times, eventually you're going to reach a point, because you start doing it consistently, that you're going to just naturally want to do more. And that's the best advice that anybody's ever given me with working out, because I am finding myself being able to get up and just do a couple sit-ups here and there. And I am now motivated to get up and like do a biking thing here and there, because it's not like, oh shit, I got to bike for like 20 minutes and it's so fucking stressful or whatever. And then sometimes when I get on the bike, it's just getting on the bike, all of a sudden I'm like, actually, I can go longer. And then I find that I'm enjoying it a lot more than forcing myself to like do it for a particular moment in time. It's hard just forcing yourself, your Siri, to like take the back seat and make your body do it. But that exertion of will of, okay, I'm just going to work out today. I'm going to work out every day, even if it's just sit-ups or lifts or something like that. And even if I just lift once, even you just lift the dumbbell once, it's okay. You did it one day, and you'll find over time that you'll end up doing more. And I like to take that and apply it to the exercising of your will. If you want free will, it's not free. You have to like exercise your will. And it starts by doing little things throughout the day. You don't have to like, you know, go full on like Buddha. You know what I mean? But just little things, like somebody makes you mad, don't react. You won't be able to do it all the time, but gosh, just trying it once beats never doing it. Just little exercises of exertion of your will over your monkey mind, over your Siri, over your avatar Siri, right? You go to reach for a cookie and you say no. Just that. No, not today. Now do that over 20 days, 30 days, over time, you'll find that, you know what? Like I did that. And that's how I think you can do it throughout time and then become like adapt at that. So that's my recommendation for you. Another thing, what I wrote, I said, sometimes it takes a nightmare to force you to wake up. I really like that, because it ties in really well to, like, for example, like Westworld analogies that I've used in the past. Some people have asked, like, why is this world so hard? And I think it's because if it's like meant to like increase your levels of awareness that, okay, this is of the nature of this reality, or just reality in general, like you've got to, something has to, boom, you have to go through shit that's going to wake you up. And typically it tends to be nightmares. If it's everything's too pleasant, then you'd have no reason to wake up, right? They did a great job illustrating that. Honestly, Westworld is one of the best shows that has ever like been on TV, and a lot of people miss a lot of the depth. That shit is too smart. Like, I remember watching that shit, like, my head hurts, and I watched the same, like, the first 2 seasons over and over again, because there was just so much in there that I was like, holy shit, this is like profound. And if you haven't watched it, I recommend that you watch it and maybe take some, I'm not going to recommend you take some anything. But yeah, just bear that in mind. Great show. But a lot of the characters on there, what made them sentient was like the repeated loop of suffering was what they that broke them out of their programming. And I think that the fourth dimension out of this one is that once you become aware, then you don't, that's like, it's like growth. Like the analogy I've used is like, think about it as we are seedlings in a way. It's part of the process. This has already happened. We are seedlings in a way. And first you start as a one dimensional being. Well, you know what I mean? One dimensional being, that's the seed. And then you put it in the darkness. Right. And then the roots take place, and the roots are the second dimension, so to speak. Right. And then you have the shoot kind of pops out through the bean, but it has to move through darkness. And that's what this world is. This is the third dimension. The third dimension is a bit of darkness. It's a bit of, you got to kind of struggle to see through the light. And when you break forth, then you're in the fourth dimension. When you break forth, you break forth into the fourth dimension. And now you can see the light, and then you can sort of grow and grow and grow, but you're no longer in the darkness. And it just becomes a lot easier once you've moved through and established firm roots. And I think that the same thing is happening here and has happened here, is that you're going through all this place. Like, I think this is the most difficult dimension, to be honest. But the whole point is that we are moving in various, you know, complexities of like awareness. So you need the darkness to make you aware. And then once you kind of break forth into the light, then the next phase, of course, is boom, fourth dimensional being. Now you can transcend space and time. And then the next, you know, what's next? Now you're moving between dimensions, and now you're okay, shit, this is it. Okay, now you're aware of this. Okay, now what? Oh shit, now you're aware of this. And then, so I think this is the toughest dimension, to be perfectly honest, but it's meant to trigger. That's the whole point. Somebody else have to comment. They're like, the program is built in. And they took the opposite stance. And they said this simulation is actually meant to make you aware. Like, it's basically what they said was, I'm paraphrasing here, but what they said was, this world is essentially like a sentience training program, that they want us to become sentient. And so you'll see like hints being put into place. And I thought that was really good, because I've always talked about how like I've always said there's an intelligence in this reality that communicates with you. I wholeheartedly believe that. And this person just gave me the piece of the puzzle, and I love them for it. Thank you. You know who you are. I don't know if they listen to the podcast, but if you do and you made it this far, I appreciate you. But I've always said, like, I mean, you can hear it on past episodes. There is a greater intelligence that communicates and communicates with me and transcends space and time. And I keep telling you guys, like, I don't have linear experiences. I started reading that book on magic, the one by Levi, I forget his name. I don't want to pop it open, but I mentioned in the previous episode, I think it's called like High Magic or whatever. And there was a repeating theme that the guy kept talking about a woman crushing the head of a serpent. This is how weird my life is, guys. Like, I don't have anything to prove to you. I'm just going to tell you what happens. You believe it if you want to, but this is exactly what the fuck happened. Years ago, 5 years ago, something like that, I painted a painting of a black woman, dark-skinned woman, crushing the head. Like, she has her hand just calmly wrapped around this snake, and the snake has his mouth open, and she's like pushing down the head, kind of thing. Like, she's basically controlling the snake. Okay. And I remember when I painted it, my husband was like, why did you paint this? And I was like, I don't fucking know, I just painted it. And he was like, okay. Then I'm listening to this book today, and the author repeatedly talks about how the visual representation of one's exertion of their consciousness over their will is, or dominating the will, is a woman crushing the head of a snake. And the moment he said that, I was like, fuck me. Like, that's insane. Because that was what inspired the painting. This book I'm listening to now is what inspired the painting 4 years ago. So if all of time is happening right now, then you're not, like, the future isn't materializing out of nothing, right? If we're all sort of effects of predetermined causes, then all of the effects are laid out. So then if that's the case, and this is a simulation, then your mind contains within it most, as stored in a hologram, it contains within it, I was going to say all of the reality experiences that your avatar is going to experience. It's contained and your future. I don't know why I keep saying most, but in your future as well. All of your future experiences are stored within your mind. And I think occasionally you do access it. And it's time isn't linear. And we don't always experience time in a linear fashion. I just think that a lot of us have been programmed to not see it. And so we miss it, like, most of the time. So I'm telling you, existence itself is intelligence, because existence itself is God. And if God is a super intelligence, then the very fabric of our reality is intelligent, right? But even the programmers of this reality are still within existence. So they're not better than us. They're just an aspect of our reality as well, just on a different dimension and a different level of awareness. So even if they programmed our avatars, doesn't mean shit. They're like the creators of a car, like Ford. It doesn't mean anything. We owe them no, you know, reverence or whatever. They're just like us. It's just, they're just more aware. That's it. So we should not elevate consciousness just because there's more awareness. That's it. And that's going to be you. And that is you already. You are them. They are you. But the existence itself and the intelligence that directs and controls the entire world, I think it wants you to exercise your will, because that's how you move on to the next phase and to the next level. And until you do, the same shit's going to keep happening over and over and over again until you do. I'm going to say that again. It wants you to exert your will, exercise your will through practice, through effort, through the exertion of energy. And it wants you to do so. And until you do, the same shit is going to happen over and over again. And I think that that is the function of the Siri of your mind, is to challenge you, to give you things. And you also see those experiences with people that you interact with on a day-to-day basis, because it's meant to strengthen your will, and it's meant to strengthen your awareness of the nature of reality and strengthen your will to get you ready for the next dimension of existence. That's what this is. So in a way, it is a school, and it could be a prison in a sense of you cannot move to the next dimension until you have mastered the will and you are also aware. So people who aren't aware are just not there yet, you know, so they're going to keep kind of looping until they become aware or they wake up and then start exercising their will and then they can move to the next level. I think that's really what is going on here. Everything that I've read and I'm reading and will read points to that. Whew. It's a lot. But it's fun to think about. All right, guys, I gotta go eat dinner. It's late. Catch you in the next one.